So, all right, let's get started this morning. Let's see, we're in Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. And now, we're going to be picking up with verse 11 this morning, a common story we all have heard and talked of many times. We hope to do a little in-depthness this morning on some things. The Lord always has something for us out of His Word. But Jesus has been speaking, and what started off this conversation, now He has talked about the lost sheep. He has talked about the lost coin. And all these conversations come about because the scribes the publicans and the sinners drew near to Jesus. And the Pharisees stood off in the corner murmuring about He associates with sinners. So Jesus is telling us the parable. He taught of the lost coin, of the woman that lost the coin, the value. Then He talked about the lost sheep. He talked about rejoicing when one comes to the Lord. Now he's going to be telling this parable of the prodigal son. Now, bear in mind before we read and get into all this, it's called the prodigal son, and there is a great story in the prodigal son. We all know it. We've heard it a lot of times. If you've been in church or studied God's Word at all, you know about that. But really, it's more about the love of a father, and then if we think about the wayward brother too. And the wayward brother represents the Pharisees. And that's what Jesus is trying to show, because that's who He's talking to at this point, is these Pharisees that's turned their nose up because He's with sinners. And He's trying to show them the importance of the love that the Father has. And so when we read about the Father, represents the Heavenly Father. And then the prodigal son is actually one who's away from God. And so if you take all three of these stories and put them together, which we don't do that a lot, we talk about the prodigal son, but the lost sheep and the lost coin go with what Jesus is saying based off the murmurs from the Pharisees, not liking Jesus being fooling and over ministering to the sinners, so to speak. So as we study this, but there's just a lot of nuggets in this that we can all use and look at our own life. Because we got to always remember, we're nothing except Christ dwelling within us. The grace of God, we'd be the old sinner that we turn our nose up to. And we'd be, except for the grace of God and the Holy Spirit and by faith receiving Him, we would be the old sinner. And we would be the old rough dude over there. And we need to always remember that. And stay humble in who we are. Thank You, Lord, for revealing Yourself to me one day, so that I come know You as my personal Savior. So I'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, and I don't walk on my own. You walk with me. The Holy Spirit dwells within me. And even though there's storms come in life or whatever, He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. And boy, He's there with us, even in things. And thank the Lord. So a lost person don't have that. So the whole idea of us as Christians is to get as many as we can to come to Christ. That's why we have it. That's what the church, not the Baptist Tabernacle building or nothing, but the church is a body of believers. We're called to reach the world, the lost man. That's who Jesus is talking about here, the lost man. And then we're called to make disciples of them. And so if we keep that in mind, that's the whole purpose. It's to honor God and please God, but He's left us with a mission. We talked about the other week. We just didn't come born again and sit down and say, well, I got my ticket to wait on the train. No, we're to be about the Father's business. That's right. Lead them in. And then, like I said the other week, the second thing you see in God's Word, Jesus taught was making disciples. And, of course, a part of what we're doing here today is working on our discipleship. And that's through teachings, because doctrine means teachings of God's Word. And then we don't just sit and retain on that knowledge, but we take it out in our everyday life. And boy, we know we are encountered everyday life. Because our idea when we get up every day is to serve God and be what God have us be. And we do that based off God's Word. We fight the things of Satan based off God's Word and the power of the Holy Spirit within us. Now, let's read verse 11. And He said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that fall to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country. and there wasted his substance on riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him in his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have enough bread, and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and am no more worthy to be called your son. Make me as your hired servants. So, we know the story here, but a young man comes up and tells his father that, hey, I want to go get out on my own. I want to do my own thing. Now, under custom at this time, when the father typically passed away, there was an inheritance divided. And the younger would have got a third, and the older brother would have got two-thirds, because the older brother always got the majority of the inheritance. That was the custom at that time. So, and if you notice, the Bible says that he came to him and he gave to them. Did you catch that part? And give me the portion, let's say, and he divided unto them, verse 12. So, he did go. Now, the father did not have to do this, okay? But the young man come to his part and said, give me my inheritance. He hadn't earned it. It wasn't time for him to have it. He didn't even deserve to have it. But it was a selfish thought that he had of coming and saying, give me mine, take me, let me have my stuff. Covetousness, and the Bible speaks a lot about covetousness. And so he didn't like what was going on. He was basically telling him, says, give me my independence. Give me my freedom. That sound familiar? Give me my independence. Give me my freedom. I'm going to go do it my own way. Now think about a lost man under the Father's. There's a lot of people that know the knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ. Either they come up in it. I believe in the Bible, but a lot of people know about things of God. We have churches on every corner. A lot of them's raised around. They had a grandmother or somebody. A lot of them had parents in the home, it was. And they still, we don't always understand it, but they'll still say, I want to go do my thing. I ain't into all this. Your rules. I don't need your rules. I don't need your regulations. We kind of say that young and dumb thing, you know, thing. I got life figured out, you know. We was all there one time. Nobody tell us nothing and all that kind of stuff, you know. So we see that in this young man here. It says, give me my independence. I want to run my own life. And I want freedom. And the Bible talks many times about situations like this. And we see it all through God's Word, where when we start wanting out, first of all, he's getting away from the Father. Okay? Don't want a part. I'm not accepting what you have. I'm not accepting your rules. And the Bible says that he went and he wasted his substance with riotous living. Riotous living. The word riotous living means loose, reckless, wild, extravagant. Living. Just wide open. Party time. Let's go party. Let's go have a good time. Careless spending. Drunkenness. Being loose. All kind of gluttonous of things. Just buying stuff. Whatever. Just hey, man, I'm free, 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 free. And boy, the devil will come out with them big billboards just prancing all in front of you. Boy, just telling you, boy, you can do anything you want to do. You remember the first time you got away from home and got away from the house? Okay, all right. Yeah, Tony, that ain't good, is it? Okay, we think thing is free. When you graduated from high school, graduated from college, how you felt like you was going to conquer the world, and the world conquered you and body slammed you a couple of times and all. So we kind of understand what this young man is doing. He's not concerned. You know, it's amazing to me, and I see a trend. And it's something that I guess we all do and we shouldn't do, but your typical young person, we're not concerned with things of God when we, you know, first starting out. I have this little thing about most young couples, when they get married, the first thing they'll do is go buy a new car together, whether they need one or not. You know, because it's like, well, it helps us bond together or something. I don't know. I see that a lot. Not every case and all that. But if you'll notice, our young generations I think they mean well toward God. I'm not talking about younger people now. Don't get me wrong. This is a general rule where there's exception to all things and all that. The reason why I say that, I've been there. Okay? We don't take things of the Lord as seriously. We may mean well, but it don't mean as much as it does now. And that's part of that journey of life. Don't get me wrong. I'm not badgering and beating up young people. I'm just saying, I'm not saying young people don't love God. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying it means more the longer your journey gets. And you got to be on that journey to understand what I'm saying. Your journey will mean more and the more long.
The journey's getting shorter.
That's one thing. It is getting shorter. But also, we get to see God work more in our life.
That's right.
Over the years. You think, because younger, we think we're handling things. Because I've been there. I'm taking care of myself. I'm working. I can be in my own house and I'm doing all this kind of stuff. I love God, yet all this kind of. And boy, then I get to see, and you know, no, I didn't do none of this. The older I get to see God is doing this kind of thing. God has gave me this. God saw fit for me to be where I'm at today. God saw fit that. And that's just a thing of life that nobody can tell you on things. But that's just wisdom of that God instills in us as we get older on it. You know, we strive, you know. But at the same time, there is an influence pushing on our young people that the things of God is not important in society today, too. That's what concerns me. Because we're already molded with that thing. We got it figured out already within us. And then society is coming on and telling our young people, yeah, just you ain't got to be dedicated to that. Just be a part, just be a piece of it. So I believe the devil would have people to be just a piece of God, not all of thing. I believe the devil's okay with people sitting in the church just this morning and, you know, not really being committed to God and just saying, well, just be a part of it and not committed. I believe the devil's pleased with that because why he can keep deceiving and say, well, you know, you go to church on Sunday, you good and all this kind of stuff. And in the story, you know, things. I believe the devil uses that thing. But there is something about that we all see ourselves a little bit both of these sons here, if we look at ourselves there. We've been there on it. And that's why I say it's more important that we encourage young people and encourage young couples. And I see it more in young couples than I do, I'd say, young people. You know, I mean, because we all start having our families and things and, you know, all this. But look, let me tell you, without God in the center of it, without God in the center of our homes and our families and our life, it's going to be trouble. I hear Brother Jimmy say a lot of times, he tells, you know, you go to getting sloppy with God, your home's going to go getting sloppy. Your relationships, and that's exactly right. And we get sloppy sometimes with our relationship with the Lord in our homes. And, you know, and if we build it on things, Lord, don't play with things of the world. Don't play with the junk of the world. Don't take your family for granted. Don't take your wife for granted. Don't take your church for granted. Don't take your children for granted. Don't take your job for granted. All know they come from only the Lord, so it's benefit for us to have what we have.
Amen.
I went in a house a couple of weeks ago over in Greenville, and it was one of those big antebellum houses. And that lady, it had stained windows in it from the 1800s. And the carvings all in the woodwork and the banisters and the furniture. She had 1800. I mean, it was beautiful. And she was a little old southern lady that lived there by herself. And she was just delighted to take me to every room and show me. And I really enjoyed looking at it, you know. But I told Connie the other day, I said, but you know, she made an impact on me. I said, because the whole time I was walking through that house and I was complimenting on the beauty and the architecture and all the history of that house and all, you know what she kept telling me? She says, I'm just a steward of what God's gave me. She says, and she kept looking at us. She said, Mr. Marshall, you know, we're just stewards of everything. We don't own nothing. And she kept telling me that. Every time I'd compliment on something, she'd say, we're just stewards. And I got in a truck and got going down the road and I got to think about that. And I says, you know, and ain't it amazing how God puts people, but ain't it amazing? Every week, God puts people in our lives every week. And he used something like that. And boy, that has stuck with me. And I was even in the recliner next morning tell Connie, I said, you know, we just a steward of all this junk. Then if I had to tell her where it come from, God showed me this. But you know, really, we are. Now going back to now I'm getting off a little bit, but I want to understand here what we're talking about. We don't have nothing. He says, give me all my stuff. You ain't got nothing. He ain't earned nothing. He ain't deserved nothing. You and I ain't earned nothing. You and I don't deserve nothing. And we ain't who we are by based off what we got.
Ain't nothing we did.
Let me tell you. That's right. And we ain't who we are based off what we got in the eyes of God.
That's right.
That's the world system that says you're somebody based off what you got. Let me remind us this. John the Baptist, great hero in the Bible. He had nothing. He didn't have no breeches put on. Okay? He killing animals and putting stuff on and all that. And look, nowhere does it say build upon things that. So we'll see the wrong way here. And look, we can still be that way today. The Lord can bless us. We can go get materialism and stuff. And you know, you think about, me and Connie was talking about this after that conversation. I said, you know, think about things we fight over. And I said, you know, one day somebody come in this house here, and all this stuff, it's like we was talking. I said, you know, if something happened to you, God forbid he took you home or took me home, all stuff in her house don't mean nothing to me anymore. I never will forget, Connie's mama passed away, and we was over there cleaning out the house, getting ready to sell it, and all this, you know, two or three coffee makers and stuff she'd had over the years laid out for them, and everybody said, need come? No, I got a cup at the house. Nobody needed it. Mm-hmm. Didn't mean, but hey, it meant something to her at one time. Yeah. And look, that puts life in perspective. We fight. Don't fool my coffee pot. It's mine. But there come a time when that don't mean nothing, does it? That these materialists don't mean nothing on things. And that's, we're just stewards of what God gave us. This wasn't his stuff to begin with. Now that was his inheritance. But that ain't what he should have been worried about. He should have been worried about being with the Father. Under the Father. Look, we need the hand of the Father over us. We need the hand of the Lord over us. Lord, don't let us go out next week in this world without the hand of God on us. Okay, I mean, we need the hand. This young man needed the hand of the Father over him. Because why? The Father loved him. As we see this story, we see he loved him. Look, our Heavenly Father loves us. He's more important than any junk of this world. Our relationship with him is more important than anything we can go through in this world. And he shows us, and he loves us, and he leads us, and he guides us, and he tells us on it. And thank the Lord that he does. But we see here that, hey, he said, give me my stuff and we'll riotous living. Just reckless. Let me say, the devil will puts that in us, don't he? Riotous living. Just go out and just live any old way. The devil does that. And at the end, what does that get you? At the end, he had no friends. At the end, there was nobody there. When all your goods is gone and the world uses you up, there's nobody. They'll throw you to the pig pen. This world will spew you up and chew you up and spit you out and care nothing about you whatsoever. I heard a guy talking, and he made a good point. He says, you ever noticed if you used to be on drugs, when you're out running with that world and the crowd, you had to buy them all the time. He said, then you get saved and come Jesus and everybody try and give you some drugs in. Yeah. See, that's the way the world is. Because, you know, they're trying to tempt you. Oh, come on. It's just like, if you don't drink alcohol, everywhere you go. Me and the fellas was finishing up a job the other day here in town. It was about 4, and I had to go over and help them get through with some stuff. And we was leaving, and the lady was bragging on the guys and all that for doing a good job. And realized, she says, well, I would offer you fellas a drink. She said, but I started Lent today. No good, honey. Yeah. And just laughed like, hey, today. That's okay, honey. We don't go there anyway. Thank you so much, you know. Now, that's what we have and what we look like here. But worldliness.
And I'm Pharisee. Yeah. I would offer you something, but it's Sunday.
Hey, yeah, that's right. That's right. And yeah, you can't come save today because God can't do nothing in you today and all. But worldliness, if you think about what the worldliness is, and when you talk about riotous living, it involves money, property, talents, opportunities, thoughts, amusements, all kind of things like that is what it looks for. Worldliness. Now, when you think about worldliness, we always think about things of the world. You know, sin of the world. We think about worldliness. Oh, we got worldliness. But you know, worldliness can be us saying that it's okay for us to be crossed up with our fellow man. You know, that's worldliness. Because why? What did Jesus say a few chapters back in Luke? He says, look, even the world expects something out of you. If I expect something back out of you if you give it to me, or they'll give and not expect nothing back. Even the world does. So if we get to where, well, I gave you, you expect to give me, that's worldliness. And see, we don't ever look at it like that. Anything that's contrary, that's the thought process of this world and is not the thought process of the Heavenly Father, can be considered worldliness. We don't ever think about that. Because it's the thoughts of the world. It's not the thoughts of the Lord. And the thought's not like that. So, righteous living is where he wound up at. Now, it says there was a famine that struck. A natural disaster. Now, imagine being alone, away from God, and in famine. And you know, there's a lot of people like that. You ever think about how people go through disasters and situations and tragedies in life, and they don't know the Lord? Where you turn this morning if your child or your loved one is laying at the point of death?
They turn to drugs and alcohol.
That's exactly right. We have you turn to any other place. A lot of depression and all kind of things, and we get sucked in on some of the things. But I'm talking about as far as where do you turn if you don't know the Lord in time of need? And the devil will come, and the devil will use those moments to come destroy you. Let's take it up a notch. The opposite is, us as children of God, we can call on the Heavenly Father. He comforts us. He comforts us. He helps us. He strengthens us. And we may not get the answer, and we still may still be going through the valley. But he comforts us through the valley. Okay? And he's with us, and we have a hope because we're holding on to his hand, even if we stay in the valley for a while, because it ain't just sometimes we drug through the valley. But we have a hope of peace because of him through us. Lost person, famine come in the land. Where do they turn? And see, here's the danger. Satan does, and that's when he comes and destroys people, because that's when he starts whispering in the ear. You know, if you'd go out and just tie on a good drunk, it'd help you forget about this. If you'd go out and just get shot up real good and get you a good hit of meth, you'll be okay. If you'd go over at that plant, if you go over on your job and steal about $1,000 that don't belong to you, you know, that'll help you out in this situation. Anything that he'll tell you. Now, what is that doing? All of the above. Remember, his job is to kill, steal, and destroy. Now, as we talk about that, let's keep in mind the heart of as a child of God we should have for people that don't know the Lord. Now, think about this. I think think about people we know that don't know the Lord that are going through things, and have we ever asked them, do you know the Lord? Have we ever made an effort to lay, you need a peacemaker, you need the Lord in your life, like we all need the Lord. I need the Lord in my life. But look, the Lord can help you through this if you put your trust in him and rely on him. See, because why? And there's a lot, and Satan has a, Satan can get a bondage on any of us and drag us down. But the lost man is what I'm talking about. And look, we all go through valleys. Nobody's sitting here saying we Christians, we on the mountaintop. We don't ever have no troubles. That's a lie. We all fight things, have battles and things in our life and things. But look, when we get down in the ditch, we can call on our Savior and he will help us. Because why? We're his children. Like this story here, it shows a loving father loving, running to us at the moment of despair. Famine, hungry, down and out, over in the hog pen. And our loving Savior. Now, why do we not want other people to have that more than what we do? Now, that's a question for us all to answer, okay? We need to, in my own life, and I'll just say it for my own life, I need to ramp that department up a little bit, okay? So we know Christ is the answer. But we also know, because look, Satan's just going to continue to destroy people. Destroy people. That's a, every time somebody takes a gun and poof, the devil's happy. He's won the victory. All the time. And that's happening a lot nowadays. Every time somebody gets hooked on something that's going to destroy, he's pleased with that. Every time you're in the valley, you're pleased with that. But we, as children of God, we get in the valleys, we have a hard time. This book, let me tell you this. I'm not going to stand up here and preach no prosperity gospel to you that life is just a bowl of cherries when you come to Christ. Because this Bible is full of people in the valley talking to the Lord. Just name them off. David, Job, we just keep on going through the whole thing. Peter, it's all through here of people. It wasn't always mountaintop living. Yes, there's trials coming, there's trials going to be. But the Lord was with them and delivered them. Okay? This world ain't our home. It's temporary. We're just passing through.
If you're not having troubles and trials, then something is wrong.
Something's wrong. But thank the Lord we have a Savior that we can hold on to, that we can turn to. Where does the world turn in time of famine? Where does the world turn to? Now, this is where it's important that we get the gospel out. Okay? Because I believe, we used to work a lot with kids, and a lot of people in this room do too. And you can go to the streets now and bring children into the church and teach them. And they don't know the words, Jesus loves me. They ain't never heard a Bible verse. They've never heard nothing whatsoever. They don't know how to act in church. They don't know nothing about church, which that's fine. Okay? A lot of times we tussle and we wrestle and we fight and we love them. But this is what I always believe, because I've been there too. They may not never come to know Christ in the presence of these people that work with them. But I firmly believe if the gospel was planted in them, because you retain stuff as a child, you heard. The seed was planted. And I believe anybody that works with kids, one day, they may be in a point of despair in their life. And I believe the Holy Spirit is so powerful that He's going to minister them children and say, you know, I heard about a man named Jesus one time. I heard about a Savior. Oh, I remember what that teacher said to me. I remember this. And I believe the Holy Spirit will draw them close to Him. That's the importance of the work that's done with children. And I believe at a point of despair, they may be over in the land of famine far away. And they may come to themselves after being in the hog pen. And boy, I'm thinking of some stories right now. I could say, We probably got a bunch of them in this room, but I want to tell you, but I ain't got time. But of how God does this very thing, and I'm telling you some rough cases and situations. I've seen God do it, but that's the important. And when they come to the self, because see, sooner or later the world's junk's going to get out. What run out? All this riotous living and all his friends and all that run out. When he run out of money, when he run out of goods, and we have people that we share the gospel with every day, that one day their road's going to run out. And you know, they may not come to Christ right now, but one day at the end of that road, they're going to come to the self and say, and the Holy Spirit, we ain't going to do the work. Holy Spirit's going to minister to them in a mighty way. And they're going to come to Christ. We're going to get in glory, and we're going to find out there's a whole lot more people in glory than we thought of. And that's why it's important to put the gospel out every chance you get. You never know, sitting somewhere right now this morning when there's a radio going to be on. Somebody that's destitute at the end of this road. You never know, and how media is going to minister to somebody this morning. We all hear stories about that. That's the importance of doing what we do. You never know how our lives next week with people we encounter should speak of Christ and make a difference in Christ. And you know, we don't have to be holy rollers and go out. It's Christ in us and the little things we do. Because why? There's a famine. There's a famine out here. But when one, because see, here's what it takes to be born again. When one comes to himself. See, you and I didn't come to Christ while we didn't come to ourselves and see our need for a Savior. The Holy Spirit comes in our heart and lets us know and convicts us of our sins and says, boy, you need a Savior. And He draws us to Him. I wouldn't give you 15 cents, somebody who said he didn't come to Christ, what the Holy Spirit didn't draw them. No way to be saved without the Holy Spirit drawing them. And the Holy Spirit does the work, and boy, when you plant the seed and the Word speaks to them, that's how salvation comes about. But we must first, an individual must come to himself. You got to know you need a Savior to be saved. You got to know you need Christ before you can come to Christ.
You got
to
find yourself lost before you
lost. We got to see that we need a Savior. And thank the Lord. Ain't it great the Lord works that way? Because you know what? I'd hate to know I had confidence in Tony Hale leading me to the Lord, and that's all it was. Boy, I'm saved because Tony. Be like these folks that mean well sometimes, you know, say, Tony, let somebody, Lord, come in and say, Tony saved me. No. I agree. No, didn't nobody save. Jesus saved me. And that's the ones you want, you know. And thank the Lord we don't have to look around and go by. So I don't go by who led me to the Lord, do you? I go by that relationship. I know something happened the moment I ask and come in by faith. And it's good. But the work that we do for the Lord in a famine land is very, very important. Let's pray.